Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Christine Hoonerwaddle.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Today, we're joined by Christine Hoonerwaddle, a training specialist with Justice for All. Christine spends her time helping Christians engage in meaningful conversations about abortion, human rights, faith, and ethics. Through training events, campus outreach, and one-on-one conversations, she equips people to become articulate, compassionate, knowledgeable, and courageous advocates for life. Christine, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much.
So how do you respond when someone says, I personally wouldn't have an abortion, but I don't think I should tell someone else what to do?
Yeah, this is a great question. When I talk to somebody on campus and that's their view, personally, I would never have an abortion. Actually, I talked to a woman fairly recently where that was her view. She's like, I personally wouldn't have an abortion, actually, and I'm a Christian. I just don't think the law, you know, should be make it illegal for other people. So I wanted to know in that situation, why was she personally opposed to abortion? Is it because she thinks that induced abortions are these elective choices that people make that intentionally end the life of a human being, and therefore she would never do that, right? Or does she not think it's a human being? So we went down that track, and she actually agreed with me. This is a living human being, and she just never would choose that. But she was really concerned about women getting health care that they needed in difficult things during pregnancy. And all it took with her was actually talking through the details of there's ways for us to make laws that really care for women and women and children during pregnancy, allow doctors to intervene in situations that are in ways that are necessary that don't involve allowing doctors to intentionally end the life of living human beings. And then, so we started there, right, with her concerns. And then we often use what we call, this is a skill that Scott Klusendorf with the Life Training Institute tells people to use. He says in situations that you can trot out the toddler. And we do that sort of in four steps, but it starts with finding common ground with where someone's at. I agree that there are some difficult situations during pregnancy, during parenting, all of that, and find that common ground. And then apply whatever justification that's being used for abortion to a situation with a born child. And so in this situation, we might say, okay, first of all, I want to know, do they agree with me that there's different kinds of choices? Mm-hmm. So there's personal choices that we don't need to interfere with. And that might be what color I wear of something or what kind of ice cream I like. We don't need to interfere with these kinds of personal choices, right? But there's other kinds of choices that actually involve harm to another human being. So things like murder and rape, stealing, and those are choices that we would say the government should intervene with, right? And so we have to ask ourselves, what kind of choices in elective abortion? And then also, like, let's take a situation where we have a mom who she personally doesn't think it's wrong to kill a 2-year-old child for whatever reason, right? Would you, because you hold a different belief than that, not intervene in that situation and let her do whatever she wants to and let her take her child to a pediatrician and have it killed? Most people say, no, absolutely not. Like, because, and I would ask, why is that? And they would say, well, that's because it's wrong to kill living 2-year-old children. They're living humans. And I would say that's absolutely true. So if it is true that it's wrong to kill living human beings, and if the unborn is also a living human being, then shouldn't we apply that same thinking to that, like, question? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does. Thank you. That's a great example. I'm going to say I had to step it back a little bit. Yeah, I think that's, I know that to be true, but sometimes if you're not accustomed to those type of conversations all the time, sometimes when you get into that point, it takes a minute to think about it, which is why I'm grateful that you're on the show today so that people can hear that. And there's probably nothing they haven't heard before, but just a reminder, you know, find the common ground and then go from there. And so I think that's very good. Very good. Many conversations eventually touch on difficult situations like rape, poverty, abusive relationships, or serious medical concerns. How can Christians navigate those discussions with compassion and wisdom?
Yeah, I think it's really crucial that we do approach these with compassion and wisdom. Jesus, you know, we read about Jesus and his heart was moved with compassion for people while he ministered to them. In the Gospels, we read stories like that. And it is true that I hear from men and women on campus constantly about really difficult situations that may involve an abortion in their past, may involve abortion in one of their parents, in their mother's past, may involve sexual assault. You know, people that have really concerns about women, or excuse me, children growing up in poverty. I talked to a woman, this was in Kansas City, I think, and I didn't know the backstory. I found out later she had just come from the financial aid office. She was really, she had lost a scholarship or something. And so there was something that going on that, and she'd just been having a really hard day to begin with. But then she stopped by, saw us on campus. She was really upset that we were there. And she didn't understand what we were doing. And instead of just dismissing her concern, saying, well, we're here because we care about unborn children and we care and we think abortion is an injustice and it needs to be ended now. Mm-hmm. I talked to her a little bit, and she was somebody that deeply cared about children around the world who are impacted by difficult things. So war, famine, injustices, right? But it was interesting because as we talked, I was like, I can tell your heart is for children. And I can also tell that you don't see the unborn child in the womb in the same way that I do. And I explained to her, like, I lived in Boulder. She made some comment about, you know, kids in Palestine and their blood is running in the streets. And well, why would you spend your time doing this when that's happening? And there's other things that you should be upset about. And I just explained to her, you know, I lived in Boulder and this is what happened in Boulder. This is what happens in abortion. And a really important question is like, are living human beings also children also being killed here in our country? And how do we interact with that? Because I can tell that you care about children. And anyway, long story short, she shared her story about how she grew up in a really difficult home and the things that she had gone to. It's just one of those situations. I was like, oh my goodness, how are you even standing here talking to me right now with all that you've gone through? Mm-hmm. And her care for children was born out of things that she had suffered as a child and things that she'd seen her siblings suffer as a child. And I was able to compassionately interact with that and care about her. And then she, by the end of the conversation, was like, wow, I actually really better understand why you're here today and what you're doing. So
That's good. You know, once again, just that compassion and just asking God for the wisdom to how to speak to them. I think it's, I mean, very critical for us as believers, us as Christians, to try to put ourselves in the position that the people that we're talking to are in, and try to, you know, we can't live their experience, but just try to see things from where they are. I think sometimes it'll soften our hearts. And then once again, get back to that point of finding that, that common ground. But unless we enter the conversation with compassion, we'll never get there.
Sure. And I think I'm constantly, and members of my team are constantly in prayer during conversations about God, give me wisdom. You know, this person's story, you know, their thoughts, you know, their challenges. And please help intervene here.
Good. So now you spend some time engaging with college students. How would you describe Gen Z's attitudes towards abortion and other life issues?
So I'm going to give a caveat to my answer on this question. I don't want to speak for the whole generation, Gen Z, right? So it would be difficult for me to say exactly what everybody thinks in that group of individuals. I certainly have worked with some students who I think about back when I was in college, how little I knew about abortion. And I would have considered myself pro-life. I was pro-life, but I didn't know what a lot of these students know about abortion. And I've been really encouraged by some students that I've interacted with that are very passionate and very tenderhearted towards people impacted by the issue of abortion and very stepping out in ways that I wasn't doing as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old. I will also say that generally speaking, when we're on campus and we're asking people their thoughts about abortion, the majority of people that we talk to think abortion should remain legal. Now, do they think it should be remain legal in every situation? Maybe not, but I don't know that till I ask them more details. But I would say if by pro-choice you mean abortion should be legal, I would say majority of Gen Z thinks it should be. I think a lot of people in Gen Z also feel like we're going backwards when it comes to women's rights, and they're very concerned about that. And they have a lot of fear related to that. And I actually can identify with that because I think you know, women's rights throughout history have been trampled on in various ways and continue to be around the world. And so we're concerned about women who are victims of rape. We're concerned about women who are victims of domestic violence. We recognize that in certain countries, we had to fight for the right to vote, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so if you're thinking about abortion in the same way that you're thinking about all of those things, then you think, oh my goodness, now there's these things illegal that weren't illegal before. And that's really concerning. Yeah. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely does. Okay. Also with, because I have two Gen Zs that I love dearly. I think the other thing is that they're so influenced by what they hear in the media. You know, abortion has been legal all of their lives.
Correct.
And yeah. So, you know, I think it's a little more difficult for them to see why would we make it illegal if it's always been legal.
Yeah.
And just, you know, what they see, what they hear influences them, helps them determine their beliefs, you know, what they feel is the right thing. And if we're not having those conversations with them to get them to think on their own, they're going to go the way of what they hear the most.
Yeah, or they've been raised with the view the unborn is nothing except for a parasite, and it's just a clump of cells, and women need this right to thrive. And so when they see that right being taken away in certain states, they're very concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Today we're talking with Christine Hunawato, Training Specialist with Justice for All, about how Christians can become more effective advocates for life through meaningful conversations. Let's continue our conversation. So Justice for All is known for its large campus outreach events. What happens at those events, and why are college campuses such an important mission field?
Right. So our campus events, so our training involves seat work, which is in-person interactive workshops and seminars. And then we call that our seat work part of our training on how to have conversations. And then the campus outreach events are what we consider part of what we call feet work. Okay. And those are practical ways that volunteers can come and engage in dialogue with people that have different views. And so when we're on campus, we have different dialogue tools or ways to invite people into conversation. One of them is the pull table I talked about. Mm-hmm. Another is a free speech board where people can write whatever they want on the free speech board. And we also have just, you know, pictures of human development and other types of things that invite people into a conversation. And so our campus outreach events are designed to start conversations. And then our volunteers and us are kind of around as people are interacting with the exhibit, then asking someone, so do you have any thoughts you want to share? What do you think about this, what this person wrote on the free speech board? And a conversation about abortion, because it involves talking about who we are as humans, why humans matter at all, why our bodies matter, what happens to bodies in abortions, what is the purpose of healthcare? Like, there's so much that we can talk about that lends itself to a deeper worldview conversation. So very often we start a conversation about abortion, but we end up talking about the gospel. We talk about how can we know anything is true or not, and things like that. And the fields are ripe for harvest, and it is exciting to see how we can talk so much about the Lord on campus, which is great.
Absolutely. And I do believe the college campuses are an important mission field. I mean, you know, once again, they're our future, you know, they're our present and our future. So I think that's a huge opportunity that you all have there. And thank you for doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Have there ever been any conversations on a college campus that have left a lasting impact on you?
Yes, so many. So many. In fact, one of the things I appreciated about Justice for All's approach is it helps me see the various nuances involved in this topic, and seeing it from different perspectives helps me just think through it differently myself in such a way that, like, how do I approach a certain argument, or how do I really show this person that I care about them? I think, can you repeat your question one more time?
I said, Have there been any conversations on a college campus that you've had that have had a lasting impact on you?
Thank you. Yes. So many conversations. So typically the conversations for me that are really deeply impacted involve the men and women who share their stories related to abortion mm-hmm. with me. So one of those that comes to mind is a woman in Texas who shared in front of a group of other students about the three abortions that she'd had in the last 3 years. And she mm-hmm. shared in very graphic detail what she went through, and she shared, you know, she pointed to our image of a 12-week fetus. And she said, my baby looked like that, and I could tell it was a boy, and I buried it in my mm-hmm. backyard. And so there are things like that that just are really poignant experiences and remind me why we do what we do. And she had mm-hmm. shared it in the context of her asking me, or others asking me in that conversation, what are you doing here on campus? If you want to change the laws, why aren't you down at the Capitol? And I had explained, hey, I've volunteered helping women through pregnancy centers to find resources. And I've also done some testifying at the Capitol. But what I find is that the more stories I hear about abortion, the more it just makes me want to talk to any woman and help her not go through that. And it was at that point that she stepped up and she shared her story, and she could really understand why I would not want a woman to go through what she had gone through.
Mm. You know, that just took a boldness on that young lady's part to share that story.
Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, so often people don't share their stories, or mm-hmm. they share them. Yeah. And hats off to her for being bold enough to share that story. You never know the fruit from that conversation that you had. There may have been someone in the audience that heard that or contemplating it. She will never know. Perhaps the seed that she planted in someone and the fruit that comes from that.
Right. And it provided opportunities for us to provide healing resources to her.
Yes.
And connect her with the post-abortion retreat recovery ministry. You know, we can often on campus be engaged in these very hypothetical conversations, right? But then mm-hmm. we never mm-hmm. know when we're talking to somebody what their experience yeah. has been. Mm-hmm. Have they been assaulted in any way? Have they mm-hmm. experienced abortion? Does someone around them have that experience? And so, like, we can talk hypothetically about the issue of abortion, but we have to remember this is an issue that very deeply impacts people in a very physical way, mm-hmm. very emotional, spiritual way.
Mm-hmm. Which goes right back to just making sure that we're speaking with compassion, regardless as to who we're talking to, because you never know what the person that you're talking to or looking at or, you know, trying not to look at. You never know what they've gone through. And so compassion has to be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, have to be compassionate. How can churches better prepare their members to engage culture on difficult issues like abortion?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is just, at least when it comes to the topic of abortion, leaning on resources like Justice for All provides and other organizations in their community, pregnancy centers and other things provide, is a great way. When it comes to questions about faith and learning how to share your faith and learning how to answer hard questions about the faith, there's organizations like Stand to Reason, which is str.org, that come alongside and train Christians and groups of Christians how to talk to people that come from very different backgrounds and how mm-hmm. to do that in ways that build bridges and open up doors.
Good. And you know, I asked how churches can better prepare their members. I think this is a place where pastors and churches really do play a mm-hmm. role in equipping their congregations. They don't have to know all the answers. But if they can yep. give them resources, you know, this is where you can go for resources. So if you don't mind, share your website where people can reach you, and also the one you just shared again.
So Justice for All's website is JFA, as in Justice for All, JFA Web, WEB.org. So JFA Web.org is our website, and you can go and you can click on events to learn about events coming up, and you can click on our Go Deeper page that has a list of all of our resources. There's an Explore All Resources page there. So that's one way to get involved with Justice for All and learn about what we offer. There's also, so Stand to Reason, our director actually worked for Stand to Reason for a long time. So a lot of our material may sound similar to some of that material. It's str.org. It's a Christian apologetics and evangelism type organization.
Good. Thank you for sharing that. Christine, many parents want to pass pro-life values to their children, but they're not quite sure where to start. What advice would you give them?
Great question. This question actually reminds me of a time I was at University of Wyoming, and we were doing an outreach event there. And there were seventh graders on campus that day for some kind of field trip, and they were on campus just for a temporary amount of time, and several of them stopped by our exhibit. And I was talking to them, and they were giving me, most of them were giving me all of the pro-choice talking points, and they already knew them. I don't know if they learned them in their homes. I don't know if they learned them on social media, TikTok or whatever, but I know that they knew at least what they were. Now, when you ask more questions, they didn't quite understand all of what it meant, but it highlighted for me the reality that we do need to teach younger children about the value of human beings and about the biblical foundations for a pro-life worldview and things like that. I think parents who feel convicted themselves and really, there's something about parents who really view unborn children as beautiful human beings that ought to be protected, that just pours out into their normal daily life with their kids, right? So some of that is just being honest about human development, telling their kids about the beauty of that, right? And if they don't feel equipped themselves to do it, again, leaning into their resources, we have a kids lesson plan that's available. It's designed for K through four. It doesn't talk about abortion. It just talks about development, and the kids make a little bracelet, and there's a verse that goes along with it. And I actually was doing it with, I was doing a practice run because I'd never done it before, and I was doing it with some kids. And one of the kids was a 10-year-old, and it was so cute because he said, we were in the middle of doing it. We show some videos of kids in utero. And at one point he said, wow, God went to a lot of work to make that baby. And it was very cute. And I just highlighted, if we can help children at a young age identify with the unborn child, it's easy for them to see our kids lesson plan is called The Baby's Heart Beats Like Mine. And it just, you know, that's one way. So
that's good. I feel like for my girls, we and I've been in, you know, pro-life work for quite a bit of time since they were little. I think my youngest was probably 3 and she's 22 now. And so one of the things we talked about, real life issues age appropriately. And so the question came up about, you know, someone being pregnant and not married or whatever, and, you know, or just different things. We it was age appropriate, but we never shied away from questions because I realized if I'm not telling them, you know, like you said, those middle schoolers, they knew, you know, if I'm not sharing with them the truth, they're going to hear from some, you know, hear something else. And that helps to shape their perspective, their foundation as well. So just, I feel like just age appropriate. Those conversations are a lot easier to have when you start when they're little. And then as they grow, they just increase.
That's good.
How can Christians remain hopeful and engaged when cultural trends sometimes seem discouraging?
And I think Christians can find hope despite circumstances around them or in their own lives now in the same way that they've found hope throughout the time of the church. And that is by putting their hope in God and putting their hope in the truth that Jesus was a man and he lived on this earth and he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again, and his spirit is at work in this world, and he's building his church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against that. And so I think we find hope by putting our hope in his name and in his amazing work that he's doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Christine, looking ahead, what gives you hope for the future for the pro-life movement?
So like we talked about before, certain conversations can be very discouraging. Others can be really encouraging. I don't want to put too much stock in any one conversation that I have with someone, but and I want to think about, you know, what is my hope in eternally in these situations. But I am encouraged by the number of people that I interact with that really deeply care about women going through difficult circumstances, men who've lost children to abortion, and medical providers who think that they are helping women, but they're committing abortions. There's a lot of people that care a lot about people. Mm-hmm. And of course, the unborn child that's at risk for being killed by an abortion. There are really sweet people that love the Lord and love other human beings that I get to work with. And I'm encouraged by that and by the fact that the Lord's at work. And when things seem bleak or seem difficult, if I can just focus on the one person in front of me, the one person I'm having the conversation with, and recognize that God deeply cares about that person and cares about me and cares about what we're going through, I think that brings hope.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. If you could leave our listeners with one final challenge or encouragement, what would it be?
Well, I'll do what we do at the end of our trainings and just say, I'm going to give you a homework assignment, and that is to go have a conversation with someone about this difficult topic and recognize as you do that, this is a really hard topic to talk about, and it's because the stakes are so high. So on the one hand, if the unborn is a living human being and elective abortions and induced abortions kill these living human beings, and then that's an injustice. And this is happening to the tune of over 1 million a year that we know of, right, in our country. And that's a huge injustice, right? On the other hand, if the unborn is not a living human being, then we are saying that a woman can't do something with her body. And that's a really important thing that we need to think about, right? And so we can understand why there are people very passionate on these sides, right, of or related to these issues. And so don't be afraid to enter into that, because this issue deeply impacts human beings, and we are called to defend those who can't defend themselves. But we can do that in ways that honor the women involved and honor the person that we're talking to at the same time.
That's good. So go have a conversation.
Yes. Don't feel like you have to know all the answers, but you can. And that opens the door up to talk about a lot of really important things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Christy, thank you for joining us today and for helping equip Christians to engage difficult conversations with both grace and truth. To learn more about Justice for All and their training opportunities, visit jfaweb.org. Thank you for listening to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark. Join us next time as we continue discussing issues that matter because life matters.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on BOT Radio Network.